Deep Rooted by 94 Balls of Snapple and read by Co-Prime. Rating, teen and up. Archive warning, no archive warnings apply. Fandom, Marvel. Relationship, Matt Murdock/Foggy Nelson. Characters, Matt Murdock, Foggy Nelson, Mike Murdock, and original female character. Additional tags, Earth 581, Fear, Hallucinations, Fan Universe, Matt Murdock Womp, Hurt Comfort, Trans Matt Murdock, Non-Consensual Drug Use, and Point of View Matt Murdock. Summary. This is why Matt usually leaves Nightshade to Spider Lily. Matt Murdock gets a face full of fear pollen from a supervillain he doesn't know is his brother. Predictably, this meshes terribly with his super senses. Good thing he has Foggy. This is why Matt usually leaves Nightshade to Spider Lily. Nothing is worth the unholy sneezing fit from whatever this fucking pollen is. Well, that, and Nightshade is generally more of a cat burglar than a hostage taker. The Red Devil has more serious situations to dive into than a couple of rich people missing their diamonds, and Nightshade has more interest in stealing from locked safes than holding up gallows. But today has been a banner day for everyone, Matt supposes. Now to take out the trash, Nightshade purrs. Matt's still sneezing and hacking too hard for any kind of rejoinder. Thankfully, before anything worse can happen, Spider Lily smashes through one of the ballroom windows with a flying kick, bringing a beautiful wave of fresh air with her. She's about a half degree above her usual temperature. Her breathing is raspy and slightly labored. She's getting over an illness, which might explain why Nightshade's last three thefts have gone ignored. Finally decided to take me seriously again, Lilyflower? Nightshade asks, his voice as bright and pointed as a blade. For one dizzy second, Matt's reminded of his latest spat with Mike, the sneer in his voice when he talked about how all Matt saw him as was a failure. But then Spider Lily speaks and the impression fades. I always take you seriously. The fight ends quickly after that. Nightshade gets away, but he's been mollified by Spider Lily's presence, and she's secured the ballroom so that EMTs can take a look at everyone who breathed in the pollen. You should let them inspect you too, Spider Lily says. You don't look well. But no, Matt can't do that. He just needs to get home, write out whatever it is in peace. It's not deadly, so he'll be fine alone. Hospitals are bad. The chance that someone might remove his mask is worse. I'm okay, Matt promises. I'm okay. If you're sure. Spider Lily sounds uncertain, but she's not pushy like Rafflesia is. When Matt insists he's sure, she reluctantly lets him go. She stays to deal with Nightshade's mess, and he darts away towards home. Matt can feel the pollen starting to affect him. It's making his heart beat faster, his equilibrium destabilize. He has to make his leaps lower and lower to the ground every few minutes. In the end, he's just speedwalking home down the sidewalks. It's bad. He needs to stay high and out of sight so no one can track him. But the idea of scaling back up a building freezes him with dread. Each smell in the air is sharper, each sound louder, more discordant. Between the height and the rattle of metal, it's agony climbing the fire escape behind his building. But eventually, Matt manages to topple through the window to safety. He's sweating, shaking. The suit has to come off. Everything has to come off. It's burning him, constricting him, strangling him. The armor clatters to the floor and is followed by his undershirt, his pants, and the sports bra that stands in for his binder when he's out as the devil. Matt's hands are wet, he realizes, once everything is off. They're wet. He can smell salt in the air. It's blood. He's drenched in it. How? When? It was your fault, Dad tells him, from the quietest corner of the room. Your fault, Maddie. You did this. His accusations ring louder than the rumble of cars or the buzz of the building's electricity. I know, Matt wants to say, and I'm sorry, but neither one will come out. There's a gunshot, the click of manacles, wood banging. Matt thinks he might have splinters digging under his skin, but when he claws at them, they're not there. The blood just keeps dripping. It's all over his body. Red all over. Matt! That's Foggy's voice, far away and murky. Another hallucination? Something slaps his hands away from where they're digging into his thighs, and then he can finally hear it. That beloved heartbeat, the steady tempo of Matt's life. Foggy's hands are blessedly cool as they cradle Matt's face. They slice through the hallucinations and the terrified racing of Matt's pulse like a knife through butter. There is no blood. Not on Matt's hands or creeping down his spine. It's not thick enough to be blood. Sweat. Just fear sweat. Rank and ugly. Maddie. Hey, come on. Stay with me. Foggy, Matt manages to croak. The only word that makes sense anymore. That's right, it's Foggy. Can you hear me? Matt nods and receives the kiss, pressed delicately to his clammy forehead. Good, okay, you're safe. You're at your apartment. You got hit with nightshades. The press is calling it fear pollen, Foggy explains, shifting to rub soothing circles into Matt's naked back. The hospital put out a statement that they can't counteract it, but should work its way through your system in a couple of hours, okay? Okay, Matt agrees. Geez, look at you. You've been sweating buckets. All the people at the hospital have IV lines. Guess we'll have to keep your fluids up the old-fashioned way. Think you could drink some water? The patter of the words is comforting, but it's a struggle to parse their meaning. At last, Matt nods again. Yes, he rasps. Water, please. But getting water means Foggy has to let go of him. And the second he does, Matt's back under, pulled by the current of the hallucinations. Matt can't find Foggy. He can't even confirm that the place he's huddled in is their apartment. There's a roar of water. He feels like he must be at the edge of a waterfall. Fisk is behind him, ready to push, ready to send Matt careening off the edge of the cliff. Matt needs to run, but he's too afraid, every muscle stiff with tension. Fisk takes a step closer. Closer. Foggy's palm is on Matt's forehead. He presses a glass into Matt's hand. Foggy, Matt pleads. Clings to Foggy's shirt with his free hand. Tears burn at his eyes, but don't fall. Okay, I'm here. Right here with you, Matt. Take a drink, okay? The liquid sounds like knives, but it soothes his parched throat. Matt tries to hold on to that incontrovertible truth, use it to anchor himself, and fight off the false input he's getting. Water. It's water from a glass Foggy filled. It's not going to hurt him. Foggy wouldn't hurt him. He drains the glass, and then a second one. The two of them sit there on the floor for an hour. Foggy's knees crack when he shifts positions, but he doesn't complain. Just talks to Matt quietly, and yet it drowns out the yelling, the accusations, the screaming threats that the fear pollen conjures. The smell of Foggy's shampoo blots out the scents of fire and blood. The touch of his hand softens away the needles trying to dig their way under Matt's skin. Until, at last, those things all fade completely. The apartment reforms around Matt one sense at a time. He and Foggy move to their bed and drop down together, exhausted. Still shivering, but finally, truly safe, Matt drifts off to the low whoop-whoop of Foggy's heart. The end. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this work, please consider leaving a comment on the original work for the author.